the Public News Service Daily Newscast for August 15, 2022. I'm Mike Moen. This week, President Joe Biden is expected to sign into law the Inflation Reduction Act. The roughly $430 billion bill is described by supporters as a major step in addressing climate change. It also has elements of tax reform, along with provisions to reduce prescription drug prices. Specifically, it allows Medicare to negotiate for those prices while capping out-of-pocket medication costs for beneficiaries at $2,000 each year. Lisa Lamkins of AARP Wisconsin says it will bring relief to individuals around her state and around the country.
We hear every day stories from our members about the measures that they are taking to try to stay alive when they cannot afford the cost of their drugs. Folks who skip doses or cut their pills in half.
The provision saw heavy resistance from the pharmaceutical industry, who argues it will result in unintended consequences such as a decline in drug innovation. As for the environmental provisions, one is aimed at cutting methane emissions from oil and gas drilling, but it remains to be seen whether it will have a broad effect on the industry. The bill would levy a fine on oil and gas producers whose wells emit methane above a certain threshold. Cassie Siegel with the Center for Biological Diversity says methane emissions are overseen by the EPA, and the fines will only be as effective as the EPA's oversight requires.
Polluters have a choice when it comes to the fee. They can comply with the regulation or they can pay the fee, but they don't have to do both. It's one or the other.
Despite an agreement to rein in methane emissions, climate action provisions in the new federal law require the government to auction millions of acres of oil and gas leases before it can auction acreage for wind and solar farms. The Inflation Reduction Act also is expected to help coastal regions in the fight against climate change, Edwin Vieira reports.
$2.6 billion are being set aside to help coastal states build up their resilience to ever-worsening hurricanes, floods, and rising sea levels. Jesse Ritter with the National Wildlife Federation says this could help prevent billion-dollar disasters, which will intensify during the upcoming hurricane season.
2022 was predicted by the National Weather Service to see above-average hurricane activity. And we know that the impact of even a single storm can last for many, many years, as we saw post-Sandy and as we're actually now still seeing as communities continue to struggle from recent storms.
Many coastal areas have developed management plans to build up their shoreline's natural defenses to impending climate catastrophes. However, high costs have been a detriment to bringing these plans to fruition. The money stemming from this bill will help develop those plans further and allow for technical assistance to improve them. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
This is PNS. Salman Rushdie is on the road to recovery, his agent confirmed Sunday, 2 days after the acclaimed author suffered serious injuries in a stabbing at a lecture in New York State. The person suspected in the attack is a 24-year-old New Jersey man who pleaded not guilty Saturday to attempted murder and assault charges in what a prosecutor called a targeted, unprovoked, and pre-planned attack. In other news, small businesses that suffered damage or destruction from the recent historic flooding in eastern Kentucky can get one-on-one assistance as they try to get back on their feet. 7 nonprofits and the Small Business Administration are opening business recovery centers in Hazard, Manchester, and Whitesburg. Chief Operating Officer of the group, SOAR, Joshua Ball, says running a small business is challenging under normal circumstances, let alone in the aftermath of a disaster.
The weight of trying to make payroll every 2 weeks to now having a flood, losing your home, losing all your belongings, losing your business. We just wanted to be there so that we can listen to those impacted and get them the resources.
Along with assistance from the Small Business Administration and FEMA, local organizations are offering grants, additional loan assistance, and business coaching. Turning to the fallout from Roe v. Wade, since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled women don't have a constitutional right to an abortion, many major corporations have expressed a commitment to women's rights. But some observers wonder if they'll stop funding anti-choice candidates. Roz Brown has the story.
Such big players as Amazon, AT&T, and Coca-Cola all have policies that promote gender equity, with some promising to pay travel expenses for those seeking abortions. Ms. Magazine journalist Linda Burston says many of those same corporations have traditionally given money to lawmakers on both sides of the abortion question, and she believes consequences are coming.
There is going to be a major impact on businesses and on state economies. And I do think that as time goes on, women and men are not going to want to live in those states and do business with those states.
AT&T has funded politicians behind anti-abortion trigger laws in 13 states, according to Insider, which reported other telecom and media giants aren't far behind. I'm Roz Brown.
In Pennsylvania, opening up primary elections to voters who aren't registered either as Democrats or Republicans is the topic of a House hearing tomorrow. The House State Government Committee convenes Tuesday to hear testimony on House Bill 1369 that would allow Pennsylvanians not affiliated with the major political parties to vote in the primaries. More than 8.7 million Pennsylvanians are registered to vote. Backers of keeping primaries closed say the political parties have the right to allow only their members to participate, but opponents say they produce candidates that are more loyal to their parties than their constituents. And that is the Public News Service newscast for this Monday. Find our A-Trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.